God bless you. Did you bring your seal book this morning? Okay. I'm going to ask you to try to find two other books that we're going to need, possibly even as early as tonight, if you can. Sirs, is this the time? Now, you'll find that in an individual booklet somewhere, but it's in the red-bound volumes, and we may have some extras on the shelf, I don't know, but we've got about 15 pages in there that I'd like to refer to with some quotes, and I'd like for you to mark these. I can put them up here for you on the screen, but I want you to mark these in that book. And then the breach, which should be in your seal book. We've got about 7 pages in that one I want to refer to. And I want to point out to you that when we go into these, or if you read them ahead of time, remember that Brother Branham is preaching these before the revelation of the seven seals. And now, I would never in my life try to be guilty of correcting Brother Branham or explaining anything that he said. But if Brother Branham gets up in the pulpit and says, "Now, I didn't know this until yesterday," and it says something different than what he said 3 days, 3 months, or 4 years ahead of that, then I have to say, Brother Branham said he didn't know this when he said that. Right. Now, we'll have to be careful because there is a spirit among us in this message that wants to make Brother Branham deity. They want to they do worship him. They baptize in his name. And they may not realize it, but they make him anti-word, according to his statements. And I'm not going to harp on that or anything else, but you see, there's a spirit that goes along with that, that the next thing you know, you don't let Brother Branham be a man like Elijah. You make him something supernatural, and it winds up you trying to make him infallible. Now, infallible means that he never said anything wrong. But when Brother Branham said, "My words will fail, I can make a mistake," or Brother Branham says, "I didn't know this yesterday until today or yesterday," that tells me that he didn't know everything all of his life. And I'm simply trying to help us keep our balance in this, because if you don't, there's some conflicting statements and some contradictory marks that you can't justify any other way. If you go back here and you say what Brother Branham said about it here, like he did in Sirs, Is This the Time? And I want to say this now, that even the sermon title, Sirs, Is This the Time? Is a question. And throughout that sermon, Brother Branham continually asked questions. Could this be that? Is this that? Now, when Peter got up on the day of Pentecost, he said, "This is that." Now, there's a difference in "is this that" and "this is that." There's a difference in it. When Brother Branham asked away, and he said, "Well, don't you think Brother Branham knew?" That's the reason I want you to bring that book. I want to mark in that book how many times he says, "I don't know. I don't know. Could this be that? I don't know." I was amazed how many times he said it. And now, but maybe Brother Branham was just being humble and he was just insinuating that you know, "Well, now, I don't know. What do you think about it?" No. Brother Branham said, "I don't know." I believe he said, "I don't know." And "I don't know" means he didn't know. If we're not going to interpret now, you'd say, "Well, he gives the impression." Brother Branham says in that same tape, "Don't take impressions." And we'll all have to admit there's confusion somewhere. And so, find the book, Sirs, Is This the Time? Get your personal copy and bring it with you tonight if you can. And then you have your copy of The Breach if you have your seal book. Now, let's go to the scriptures this morning, because we've talked about the three comings, where Brother Branham said it was a sixfold ministry and the seven seals. We've given you quotes where Brother Branham said that the seventh seal was not revealed. We gave you those quotes from the seventh seal itself. Then we gave you quotes from other sermons after the seals, where Brother Branham says that. We've tried to explain to you where Brother Branham talks about the corporal body will come at Revelations 19 when he comes back to set up his millennial kingdom. We tried to identify the second coming as the secret going home, the change, the catching away, or what we often call the rapture or going to the marriage supper. The seventh seal, we've brought out quotes where Brother Branham places that at the third coming. Now, there are some statements where Brother Branham mentions the seventh seal is him coming back for his bride. There's one, and I found two others where Brother Branham talks about, now that's the seventh seal, the mystery of him, of the bride going away. Or, and then he changes the statement. I'll read you that quote this morning. And if you take that two or three quotes that I gave you, you'd say, oh, no, the seventh seal is the rapture, it's the catching away. But they take that and make it 1963. Now, the second great confusion that comes in to me is when Brother Branham comes along and identifies himself with Revelation 7. And it says, all the mysteries should be finished. Well, if you take that in its literal statement, the way the mind wants to interpret it, then you'd say, well, then we know everything. But I challenge you, who knows everything? I want that person to stand up and be counted, because I've got some mysteries or some unknown things. And Brother Branham says a mystery is a previously unknown fact. Now, you can have it maybe by some kind of a revelation or misunderstanding, but what we're trying to do here is to take what Brother Branham said and let Brother Branham tell us what these things are. Now, when Brother Branham gets to and brings in Revelations 10, 1 through 7, the first time he really gets into it in detail is in Sirs, Is This the Time? And I don't want to get into that this morning, because I want you to have your book in your hand. Because Brother Branham says something about, now I'm not prone to be a fanatic, but this is the way I'm feeling, and this is what I'm thinking, and you know, I've never told you anything to deliberately deceive you, and I wouldn't deceive my family, and I won't deceive you people that have fed me, and I won't deceive you because you're the children of God, you're my family. And Brother Branham says, but that's where he brings out, and he makes a statement that he believes that Revelations 10:7, that angel, is the seventh church age messenger. Now, he makes that. But then you go through the seals, and when you come out to Feast of the Trumpets, he says, I didn't know this until yesterday. And then when he says what he says about Revelation 10:7, he said, now, folks, this is not something I made up. This is thus saith the Lord. Now, I'm sorry if that statement differs with what he said in Sirs, Is This the Time? Which one are you going to believe? Because in Sirs, Is This the Time, he's asking questions. And he's hesitant even to say this about Revelation 10:7. And he does that in the breach. He carries that over. But when he gets to Feast of the Trumpets, he said, this is thus saith the Lord. And that's what got my attention. Now, let's go to the scriptures first. Let's go to Revelations chapter 10, verses 1 through 7. And they're going to put the King James Version up on the screen for you. And I have a book in my hand this morning. It's a Bible. It's the King James Version. But it's one that we handle in the office. A friend of mine named Mathis put this together. And it's 26 translations of the Bible in one book. And so, Brother Branham, when he studied, and I can show you quotes, where Brother Branham, even this scripture right here, Revelation 10:7, He said, I looked this up in other translations, and the Revised Standard Version calls this an eagle. So Brother Branham read the other translations. So with that as my excuse, I got down my book that has all 26 translations. And so I don't have to have 26 Bibles on my desk. And I usually give one of these to every minister who visits us, especially if they come here and preach for us. And I haven't had a one yet turn it down. But in Revelations 10, beginning with verse 1, what this book does is it has the King James Version. It'll have it in dark black letters. And if you read that verse, and if either one of the other translations has it different than that, it will have it listed underneath that, and it'll have an abbreviation where that which translation that is. And so this morning, I not only want to read you from the King James Version, I want to read you what all 26 translators say these verses say. So let's take the first one, Revelation chapter 10, verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed in with a cloud. Now, the Revised Standard Version says wrapped in a cloud. Now, that's the difference with that statement right there that any of the other 25 have. And I saw another mighty messenger descending. I got to look this up because I don't remember which one this is. The Emphasized New Testament, a new translation by J.B. Rotherham. He says, and I saw another mighty messenger descending out of heaven, arrayed with a cloud. And then the one by Mr. Way says, then I saw another strong angel coming down from heaven. He was robed in a cloud. Now, those three translators write it different than the King James Version. Now, let's go to the next one. And a rainbow was upon his head. Now, there's three different other differences of that. The Way says, and over his head was the rainbow. The Lamson Bible, Brother Branham refers to quite often. It says, and the rainbow of the cloud was upon his head. And the Amplified says, with a halo like a rainbow over his head. Now, let's go to the next one. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. The 20th century New Testament says his face was like the sun and his feet like pillars of fire. The Moffat translation says like columns of fire. The Phillips translation says his face blazed like the sun, his legs like pillars of fire. Verse 2. And he had in his hand a little book open. There's about three different ways that's stated. In his hand, he held a little book open. That's from the 20th century New Testament. The Rhema says, a little scroll opened. The Wima says, a small scroll unrolled. Next statement. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth. The Phillips translation says, he planted his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. You see what I'm saying? They say somewhat the same thing, but they say it with different words. Verse 3. And he cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. The Revised Standard Version said, he called out with a loud voice like a lion roaring. The Tama says, and gave a great shout. It was like the roar of a lion. The next statement. And when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. That's the King James. And the Revised Standard Version says, when he called out, the seven thunders sounded. The Rhema Bible says, and when he cried without, the seven thunders uttered their own voices. The 20th century says, at his cry, the seven peals of thunder spoke, each with its own voice. The Tay says, and the seven thunders crashed their reply. The fourth verse. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. The Phillips translation says, when the seven thunders had rolled, I was on the point of writing. The King James, the next statement. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. The 20th century says, "But I heard a voice from heaven say, 'Keep secret what the seven seals of thunder said, and do not write it down.'" The fifth verse, King James Version. Are you being able to follow me? Okay. "And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven." The Rhema says, "And the messenger whom I saw standing upon the sea and upon the land lifted up his hand unto heaven." Verse 6. "And swear to him that liveth forever and ever, who created and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer." The 20th century says, "And swore that they should, that time should cease to be." The Way says, "And in the name of him who lives forever and ever, the creator of heaven and all that is in it, of the earth and all that is in it, and of the sea and all that is in it, he solemnly declared, there shall be no further delay." Now that's what Brother Branham says. Brother Branham does not say that time shall be no more means the end. Like the seventh seal says, that's the end of all things, the end of all things, the end of this, end of that. But Brother Branham's explanation of time shall be no more was that there, what is started will not stop. There will not be any more delay. Amen. See, you can't put that the same as the seventh seal, because the seventh seal is the end of everything. But this one says, time shall be no more. And it's translated here by one that says, there shall be no more delay. And that's Brother Branham's explanation of it. Now, verse 7. "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound." Now, the Phillips translation says, "In the days which shall soon be announced by the trumpet blast of the seventh angel." Now, this one comes in with a trumpet blast of the seventh angel. Now, there's two seventh angels involved here. One of them is the church age messenger angel, the messenger of the Laodicean. And I will read you the verses in a moment, but in Revelations 7, 8, and 9, or 7, 8, and 9, or chapter 8 and 9, you will find that the Bible list, there's angels that come forth that blow a trumpet, and they're known as the trumpet angels. Brother Branham talks about them. One sounds and 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then it gets into chapter 10, and skip chapter 10, and there is no trumpet. But in Revelation 11:15, the seventh trumpet angel sounds. And so we got the sixth trumpet here in chapter 9, verse 13. And then we go into this happening of this mighty angel coming down with a rainbow, with all these things, swearing by him that lives forever and ever, planting his foot on the land and the sea. And then seven comes in and says, when the seventh angel begins to sound. But not until Revelation 11:15 does the seventh trumpet angel blow his trumpet. And because you're following with through the trumpet angels, and this verse and this chapter is inserted right in the middle of it, people tend to wonder, well, what is this one? And Brother Branham, and serves as the time comes along, and says that he believes that this angel messenger of Revelation 10:7 is the same as the seventh church age messenger. But there's a question. Is this talking about when the seventh trumpet angel gets ready to sound? And some of these translations tend to point that away. But we in this message have identified Brother Branham as Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. Because of what Brother Branham says in "Sirs, is this the time?" and in the breach. But if we'd have waited till he said "Feast of the Trumpets," we might have had a different opinion. Now let me tell you folks what's happened since your pastor has started this. In Europe, it's spread around that I am preaching the return ministry. I had to scratch my head on that one. I wondered where and how that got started. Well, I'm one that I investigated. Somebody said that Brother Green believes there's going to be a resurrection of the dead in Christ, and they're going to rise, and they're going to be with us on this earth for 30 days. I still say amen to that. Brother Bram told me that. Why he told me, I don't know, but it's created me some problems, but I have to be honest and say he said it. But now, on the tape, letting off the pressure, Green Lake, Wisconsin, Brother Bram says it. On the film, Brother Bram says it. And so, I believe the dead in Christ will rise. Amen. And will be with us on this earth. And Brother Branham told me a minimum of 30 days. Now, in the rapture tape, Brother Branham explains this, that the Old Testament saints rose at the time of the resurrection of Christ. Amen. And Abraham and Sarah walked the streets of Jerusalem and showed themselves. I don't hear any of these brothers questioning and doubting that. But I just say there's got to be something happen to cause us all to change our attitude. And we begin to see our loved ones in Christ walk around. But now, you can't take that and make that Brother Branham will have meetings for 6 months around the world. Or that you'll take, and Brother Branham will come and have the tent and have the meetings. He didn't tell me that. He just said the dead in Christ will rise and will be with us. And how they'll appear, what they'll do, I'm not going to know that, but I'm telling you what, I'm looking for them. I believe they'll come. I've got my own personal feeling about it. There'll be an earthquake in California because there's always a mighty earthquake that precedes a resurrection. And when that earthquake happens and the dead in Christ rise and we all begin to be changed, people may not even recognize, well, that's not Perry Green. He's 72 years old and weighs 300 pounds. But hey, there goes a nice looking young man, 20 years old. He only weighs 200. They won't know that's me. Janice will. The rest of you may not recognize it, but you know what? I tell you what, if there's nothing else, that visit I had in that dream where I began to see some of our loved ones, I want you to know, folks, God made that very real to me. I'm looking forward to that time. There's going to be that. Yes, Brother Branham's going to rise. I think I'm going to be the first to see him. I don't think we're going to need an airplane. If we do, I'm going to be disappointed in resurrection. I don't think he's going to need our money. So you can go ahead and pay your tithes. You don't need to be saving them up to give them to him when he comes back. And people that do things like that, they're not going to do that. They're just not honest. I tell people when they come to me like that and tell them, well, I'm saving my tithes up to give them to Brother Branham when he comes back. I said, well, you know what? If you put those tithes in an account that only Brother Branham can get them out of, then I'll tell everybody you believe that. But until you do that, don't try to convince me or yourself even. You're just a thief. That's what the Bible calls you. You just don't want to support the kingdom of God and you'd rather keep yourself. And I want you to know, folks, you'll never prosper with that attitude. I thought this morning while Art was singing, I remember those young men that when they went with us in 1969, some of those boys had to risk their jobs. A lot of them did lose their jobs. I remember Ike was a mattress maker and he lost his job and he was concerned the whole trip. Well, what am I going to do to get back home? I haven't got any way to make a living. Other boys, they were drivers for other people and so forth. But I want you to know I've kept a record of this and every one of those young men have prospered. They did what they felt led of God to do when they got back home, and some of them have really succeeded in their business and what they've done. Art back there, he still sells Volvo trucks for a living. Well, he wasn't doing it then, but that's what he's doing now. But, you know, anybody can survive. Bobby in the truck selling business now must be pretty good. And he sells Volvos, which is a quality brand truck. Made in Sweden, isn't it? Huh? You know, like the Volvo car, the safest, the best. I told him last night I owned a Volvo and he won't know, what's in it? What's engine in it? I said, I don't know. I told him I'd let him go look at it this week. It's purple. That's all I know. Hey, Ronnie, would you tell Art this morning what that Volvo has got in it? You've seen it. You know what it is. Would you tell him what he's got in it? Maybe we'll sell it to him, huh? Maybe we can get an offering for the church or something, huh? Oh, I see. Detroit. That's bad, isn't it? I don't know, but there's a trucker right there. He can tell you all about it. He's looked at it. But we look at these things and it becomes serious, and And then for people to really come along and say it. Then the next rumor that got started on me is that I don't believe Brother Branham has anything to do with Revelation 10:7. I haven't said that. I simply say that Revelation 10:7 could have a double meaning. Just like Malachi 4:5 has got a double meaning. The hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children of the fathers. Elijah of Malachi 4, as we know him, didn't handle both of those. You see, we've got the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, coming up here. And they're going to do something in this. And so, excuse me, but there is a mystery. There's an unknown fact here among us that we cannot be sure. And you can say, well, I know for sure. Well, then you tell me what you're sure about, and I'll tell you where Brother Branham said it the opposite, the way you're sure. So then what are you going to do about it? I say, we need to conclude this by what Brother Branham says. Let's just be sweet, humble Christians to one another. You know what, really? Folks, I don't believe that your salvation and your rapture depends upon you understanding all these things. My dear wife told me this morning, she said, if it does, I'm not going to make it. And she said, I tell you, somebody else is not going to make it. And that's sweetie words. And I told her, I said, you know what? You're two of the finest women I know, and you're married to two of the greatest men that ever lived. She said, "What's your mouth?" But I don't know anybody who fully understands everything. And I don't think that it's really essential unto salvation. I don't want you folks to, even what I say about the seventh seal, don't do that. Why don't you just wait and let God interpret it? But when somebody comes along and tries to tell you that 1963 was a coming to the Lord and no more communion, and next thing you know they're in the millennium, and the next thing you know God Almighty, fountain of eternal knowledge himself, is here, and they give you the new name of God, I want you to know that becomes dangerous. That's another gospel. That's false teaching. That's false prophet. And the Bible cautions us about that. And I've got a whole page of scriptures about that where there were people in Paul's day who said, I warn you and I caution you, there are some that still, that they're saying right now that the day of Christ is here. They were doing that in the book of Acts. Doing it in Thessalonians. Paul rebuked them and said, that's wrong. So I'm saying that what you do is you need to keep your balance here And if somebody's taken away the promises of God from you, this can't happen in your life. You can no longer have discernment or the gifts of the Spirit or the moving of God or the supernatural or the miraculous. You can't have a dream. You can't have a vision because all that's been fulfilled. We're past that. I want you to know they're taking the truth of the gospel away from you. That's another gospel being preached. And that's the only reason, as pastor at Tucson Tabernacle, I'm trying to get us back to the point to say that every promise that God's given is still ours. Amen. He didn't come along and restore the gifts and reveal to us the truth of divine healing to take it away from us. He didn't come along and tell us that you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you have the token in your life, and that the power of God dwells in you, and you are the temple of God, to come along and says, well, Brother Branham's gone now, God's doing nothing. That's as bad as the people that come along and say, God is dead. Not a bit of difference with it. Now, let's go back to the scriptures, because I had this here with Revelations, and I want to show you these seven trumpets. Now, if you got your Bible, we'll look at it. Let's go to chapter 8, verse 7 of Revelations. And I'll show you how this flows, and I think I can turn around and read this with you, because it'll flow right through there. 8 and 7. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and the mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. I want to know, does anybody think that's been fulfilled? Okay, let's go to 8:8. And the second angel sounded, and as were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. Has that been fulfilled? Let's go to the third one, verse 10. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the waters. What about that one? Let's go to verse 12. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them were darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. Well, we go through these first four, and we see that folks, they sort of fit underneath the tribulation, don't they? Like Brother Bram said, the sixth seal. And he says, all these trumpets sound under the sixth seal. He says that very plainly and never changes it. So this is the tribulation. Now the bride is not here for the tribulation. That's a fact. The bride is not here when Christ reveals himself to his brethren, the Jews. When the Jews are saved as a nation in one day, the bride cannot be here. That goes all the way back to the type of Joseph with his Gentile bride, Egyptian girl. When his brothers came, he dismissed his Gentile bride and revealed himself to his brethren. That's Brother Brown's teaching on it. Let's go to chapter 9, verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Let's go to verse 13. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. That's the first six trumpet angels. Now, let's go to Revelations 11:15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Sounds like a triumphant victory there at the end of it, doesn't it? Now, we go back to Revelations 10:7. I didn't put that one on there, but you got to go back to it. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. Now, you see, we talked about the sixth angel in chapter 9, verse 13. And then this mighty angel comes down. And Brother Branham very plainly says, that is not an earthly angel. This angel comes down from heaven. And Brother Branham compares it how it was described. The rainbow. Go back to Revelations 1 when John first saw him. I'm not going to argue this fact or belabor it. Brother Branham simply says in a number of places, this angel, this mighty angel, this covenant angel was Christ. Don't try to make that, Brother Branham, with me. While he lifted up his hand to heaven and said, time shall be no more. Well, let me tell you something else he did. He swore. And that breaks the word. If you got that Brother Branham, and Brother Branham is swearing, and he's violating the word. What are you trying to do with him anyway? There is no question, if you can just read, that Revelations 1 through 6 is the Lord himself. Mighty angel, the covenant angel. We'll talk to you about that some. Now, let's go to and just define some words. Because the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound the mystery. Now, I want to point this out. That's singular. But the word mysteries becomes involved. But this is the mystery of God. And Brother Branham very plainly describes this, the mystery of God. Let's look at the tape. It's 61. It's June the 18th. It's paragraph 207. The seventh and last one of these seals, when they're opened, is found in Revelation, the 10th chapter. There was a mighty angel, which was Christ, come down and put one foot on the land and one on the sea and raised up his hand and says, the day is finished. Time has run out. It's all over. Time shall be no more. And he said at the sounding of this, at this time, the mystery of God should be finished. Stop right there. The mystery of God should be finished. Now, Brother Branham describes the mystery. Who God is. And how he was made manifest. How, when that seal was opened, how we began to understand now how that he was the Son of God. He was God Himself made flesh. And the revelation of who He is, that should be finished. Well, folks, I'm sorry. But there's no question in my mind who God is. About the Godhead, that mystery is solved as far as the bride's concerned. Now, if you want to make it mysteries, I don't find any place in here where Brother Branham comes along and says, well, then you'll understand the seventh seal. He hadn't even preached the seals. And he said here, the mystery of God is who God is. Not a Trinity God, not a three God, but a one God. My only God. That's the mystery of God. Anybody here don't understand that? Don't have a revelation of it? You see, people can't explain the Trinity. Jim Diffendorfer, he's been going down to Calvary Chapel, which I don't know. And, he was going to one of those, and they had an expert on the Trinity come in. And they got up there and had charts and everything else, and the man, he explained the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. And then he said, you know what? There is no explanation to this. And Jim said, you're right. And so Jim stopped going there, and now he's going to Christ Community. You know what? Jim Diffendorfer is a believer in this message. He knows who God is. And you're not going to put the Trinity down his throat. Why? Because you've got a revelation of that. There's just something about you know is true. Great is the mystery of godliness. He appeared to us in the flesh. He was crucified. He was buried. He rose again. He ascended on high. That's the Lord our God Almighty. And I'll tell you this. He's the only one you'll ever see. The mystery of God is finished. Now, if you want to talk about the mysteries. Now, Brother Branham does this. He changes it and says, the mysteries. He converts it into the plural. Before the seals. Before he finishes the seal, before he gets to Revelation 10:7. Now, and revelation of who he is that should be finished before this angel can put his feet upon the land and sea and swear that there'll be time no more. When this time comes, we're right in that front yard of it right now. The last one of them is Revelation 10. Foot on land and on sea. Time had run out. Redemption is over. Now he comes in as the lion. He was a lamb then. Now he comes in as a lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, look, folks. Redemption is over. That didn't happen in 63. A lot of you people got saved after that. Some of you were born after that. Now, if you want to put this back there in 63, then you're left out. You missed it. I talked to some of the people who believe, you know, it happened in 63. And I say, when did you get it? Well, just God's grace, He let me in. Well, then everybody's got a chance. What do you even want to teach a doctrine like that for? If you got in, let somebody else in. Is that right, Jeff? It behooves me sometimes, I stop and wonder, what mystery do they have? I think of the McFadden brothers. Not a chance for them. People don't realize how cruel that is. To leave them plumb out of the kingdom of God. But you see, your pastor don't believe that. There's room for you. Even today. Amen. Today is the day of salvation for you. Now, which one is this? Revelation chapter 5, part 2. Did I have that one on there? Okay, let's go ahead with it. I'll read it. Now, let me just read the rest of this so I can get it right quick. And the 8th verse. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors and prayers of the saints. Now this is the time when everything must be worship. Now remember how appropriate. Now, don't let us miss this now. Listen close. When all the mysteries of the church age was finished, when all the mysteries of the plans of redemption, them seven seals was opened at right, immediately after this, now look, it's time for everything in heaven and everything on earth to worship God. Now, watch what takes place. Listen at it. Just listen at it for just a moment. Now, there's the one I'm looking for, in His presence. Let's go to it. And now we will, just as soon as I can, I will announce when we're going to maybe start. I've had some calls this afternoon, and notice when this is. It's before the seals now. And I think, if the Lord willing, I want to take the next time that we start on the seven seals of Revelation and the seven natural seals, then if we go through a time, take the seven seals on the back of the book. Now, that may take a little time. See, there's seven seals that's open. There's seven plagues, seven trumpets, all these sevens. And them seals we could take first. But then on the back of the book is sealed with seven seals. Daniel heard the voice as it thundered and was forbidden to write. John was forbidden to write, but it was sealed on the back side of the book. That is, after all the mysteries of the book has been given out and revealed. You notice Daniel said there, the mysteries in the day of these voices, the mystery of God should be unfolded by that time. The mystery. And here he says, who God is, how He was made flesh, all these things should be unfolded by that time. And then we're ready for the seven seals on the back side of the book. That's not even revealed to men, not even wrote in the Bible. But they'll have to be just exactly compared with the rest of the Bible, and I think it'll be a great thing. That's an important statement. They'll have to be just exactly compared with the rest of the Bible. Nothing added to it. Nothing left out. Somewhere or another I've missed a quote. Did I have down there page 210 out of 61, 618? Well, there was a statement there, something about holding back His coming. I didn't see that. Did we miss that part of it? Can you go back to that? Run it on. I must have left off a line or something. I'll get in the next one. I'll mark it right here and I'll get in the next one. Because he says that until all this happens, it does hold back His coming. Now, I want you to see that. All right. Now let's go to 61, June the 18th. Well, I've already read that one. I'm sorry. I want to go to the mysteries now. It's 1962, December the 30th, in the evening. And it's page 30, paragraph 5. Now this is, serves as this a time. Now let's note a few of these mysteries. And if you want to write them down, first I'll take what Scofield says here in Matthew 13. If you'd like to type them down, if you haven't got a Scofield Bible, you might read what he thinks some of the mysteries are. Now in the 11th verse, he answered and said unto them, because it's given to you, his disciples, because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Now this is mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. This is not the mystery of God. Mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And a lot of people want to put this over in Revelation 10:7. Brother Brown very clearly puts it in Matthew 13. Now, here's the mystery. A mystery is Scripture, is a previously hidden truth, now divinely revealed, but which is a supernatural element still remains despite the revelation. The greater mysteries, and the greater mysteries are, and then Brother Branham names them, beginning with page 31, paragraph 1, and serves this a time. The mystery of the kingdom of heaven. There's the one we're talking on now. Matthew 13, 3 through 15. Number two is the mystery of Israel's blindness during this age. Romans 11:25 with the context. Third mystery is the mystery of the translation of the living saints at the end time of this age. 1 Corinthians 15 and also Thessalonians 4:14 through 17. The fourth mystery of the New Testament church as one body composed of both Jews and Gentiles, Ephesians 3, 1 through 11, Romans 16, 25, and also Ephesians 6, 19, Colossians 4, 3. The fifth mystery is of the church as the bride of Christ. Ephesians 5, 28 through 31. The sixth is the mystery is of the living Christ, same yesterday, today, and forever. Galatians 2, 20 and Hebrews 13, 8. Many places like that. The seventh mystery is of God, even as Christ, as the incarnate fullness of the Godhead embodied, in whom all divine wisdom and godliness is restored to man. Now, the seventh mystery is more like the mystery of God. That'd be the Godhead, wouldn't it? Now, the ninth mystery is the mystery of iniquity found in 2 Thessalonians and so forth. The tenth mystery is of the seven stars of Revelations 1 to 20. We've just been through with that. The seven stars of the seven churches, the seven messengers, and so forth. And the 11th mystery is the mystery of Babylon, the prostitute, Revelation 17, 5 through 7. Now, that's some of the mysteries that this angel is supposed to wind up. All the mysteries of God. And the other one, may I say this with reverence, and not referring to myself, but referring to the angel of God. Now, Brother Branham said, not referring to myself, but referring to the angel of God. He names a mystery, the serpent seed. That's been a hidden mystery all through the years. The grace straightened out, not disgrace, but real true grace. No such a thing as an eternal burning hell. You'll burn for millions of years, but anything that was eternal had never beginning or end. And hell was created, all these mysteries. The mystery of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, without cessation, but the person of Christ performing in you the same works that he did. The mystery of water baptism, where the extreme Trinitarianism has brought it into titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and the mystery of the Godhead being fulfilled in the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, according to the book of Revelations, that the church in this time was to receive. There are some of the mysteries. The pillar of fire returning back. Amen. That's the thing that's supposed to take place, and we see it. Oh, how we could go on naming the mysteries, seeing that pillar of fire that led the children of Israel, the same that struck down Saul on his road down to Damascus, and the same one coming with the same power, doing the same things, and revealing the same word, slaying word by word with the Bible. The sounding of the trumpet means gospel trumpet, and the sounding of a trumpet in the Bible means get ready for scriptural war. Are you getting it down? Scriptural war. Paul said, if you want to put it down, 1 Corinthians 14:8. Paul said, if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, how will a man know what to prepare for? And if he doesn't have a scriptural sound, a vindication of the word of God made manifest, how will we know we're at the end time? If it says they believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, but deny his signs and wonders that the whole realm of nature believed on him and all the church believed on him, by this, how shall we know how to prepare? Sounds like most of those mysteries Brother Brown took care of. There wasn't anything he mentioned there that I don't think we understand, that we don't understand. I mean, he gave us the scripture to go read them. Now we do that. That's what happened to me whenever I realized Brother Branham was the prophet Elijah, like Elijah of Malachi 4, and I realized he had a message. This book became a new book. Beforehand, I couldn't understand predestination, the sovereignty of God. As I said to my wife this morning, aren't you glad we've got predestination, this message? Aren't you glad we've got the sovereignty of God? That before the foundation of the world, he knew the end as though it were the beginning. And that your name was written in the book of life. And he comes along and straightens us out on such things about, we used to sing the old song, I've a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. And that name's been there ever since before the foundation of the world. Well, we never knew that. We used to sing that song and get so happy about it. My name's written in heaven. Oh, and it's mine, it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. We don't even sing it anymore. Got a wonderful beat and a melody to it. Hand clapping, foot stomping, jumping, arm waving, shouting song. But something happened to that joy. Brother Wilson, before the foundation of the world, he was there. That ought to make you jolly jump up and down. Why were you yet sinners? You really had nothing to do with it. The Spirit of God drove you and pulled you and tugged you and showed you and chastised you till you recognized who it was and convicted you. And if you can feel conviction today, thank God for it. You got so self-righteous you can't be convicted anymore. Something's wrong somewhere. Reach up there and break your halo. Why? It's grace from before the foundation of the world. Not disgrace, grace. Not works, faith. A gift of God makes us want to serve it. But now, when you get the works of this thing, and you start dressing right and acting right and living right, and you get to your, all of your deeds are right in your own eyes, then you're self-righteous. But as long as you realize you need Him and His blood and His grace and His mercy, you know what you'll do? You'll love Him. Amen. And you can sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." Or, "I love Him because He first loved me." But if you get so righteous in your own deeds and your own actions, then you don't even need Him anymore. In this message, I know a lot of people don't need Him anymore. They don't need mercy. They don't need grace. They've earned it on their own. And you know why I say that? Because they don't let anybody else have any mercy. They won't let anybody else believe they can make it. I mean, you people just commit unpardonable sins all the time. God won't forgive you that. Did we get to page 4, paragraph? No, the next one right here. And this is at the serves as this a time. Notice now the Laodicean church. The messenger will finish of the Laodicean. The seventh angel will finish all of the mysteries that's been lost in the battles before for the truth. Luther raised up, but he didn't have all the truth. He only had justification, right? All along, some other messenger named John Wesley was sanctification. He didn't have it. The Bible said the Philadelphia age. Then comes the Laodicean church age with the baptism of the Spirit, but they messed it all up and went right back into formalism like they did in the first place. And I could almost say that in the message. When he was looked upon as Alpha and Omega, his hand laying the way, in one way, the first and the last. So if you want to talk about the mystery of God, it's who God is. Jesus Christ, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That mystery to the bride is finished. Now, Brother Branham very distinctly says, and we'll get into this with quotes, but I'm going to close with this morning, that this seventh angel is an earthly angel. And he has a voice and a message. And it finishes the mystery of God. Now, when Brother Branham's commission came, he says a number of places, "Your message will forerun." There's times when Brother Branham says that you will forerun. There's come the doctrine, you can't separate the message from the messenger. I'll agree that if you can't have a message without there being a messenger. But the messenger, as far as his flesh is concerned, is not here. But I want you to know that message is still just as true and just as powerful as the day that Brother Bram said it. And I want you to know that message is affecting your lives today. It's affecting lives throughout the world. And as far as God's concerned, it has been spoken, and when God speaks it, it's a finished work. Now, what Brother Branham said about the seventh seal and the three comings, and he identified the seventh seal as the third coming. You know what? That don't have to be spoken again. It's already been spoken. And it will come to pass. As far as God is not going to have me, you, or anybody else get up and explain what this means in order for it to happen just the way God ordained it, because it's already been spoken, revealed to a prophet. That prophet spoke it. And when that voice begins to sound, that mystery is finished. These mysteries of Matthew 13, they are finished. Because people don't have to walk in ignorance anymore. Now, they may choose to stay blind in their denominational attitude. They may choose to go blind by preaching another gospel or interpreting it or misplacing it. And that's where, when you bring the book, The Breach, or serves as this a time, I want to show you how much Brother Branham cautions us that don't misplace this.
Amen.
Don't misinterpret this.
Right.
Don't take an impression.
Nope.
Let's take what the Word says.
Amen.
Now, before I'm finished with this, from quotes of Brother Branham, I'm going to show you that those two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, have to come into this. Because just as God sent a prophet to the Gentiles to get the mystery of God finished, He also has to send Moses and Elijah to the Jews so that they would see that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the Son of Almighty God. And it's not just us Gentiles that this mystery is finished. There's 144,000 Jews going to get in this. Well, we like it or not. And they won't hear it as long as the bride is here. I'll show you a number of quotes where Brother Branham said, the bride's taken away, the bride's got to go. And said, just as soon as the bride goes, these two prophets come on the scene. Now, I've always been curious. I don't know where I come up with this thought, but I've wondered if, you know, will they be a reincarnation of Moses and Elijah, like on the Mount of Transfiguration that they saw? And I'll bring you quotes where Brother Branham talks about Moses died and he was resurrected and nobody knows where his body is. And I've always said that if the Jews knew where Moses is buried, they'd go and conquer that place and raise a mighty temple over it. That's just what they believe about Moses. Elijah was translated. Brother Branham said for 800 years he'd been gone. He came back and he's on the Mount of Transfiguration. But will these be two heavenly resurrected Moses and Elijah, or will there be two men with the spirit of Moses and Elijah? Brother Branham talks about one place about it being the spirit, being with the spirit of it. Well, if that's the case, and I don't think they're going to come in there as teenagers. I don't think they're going to be manifested as middle-aged men. I think they're going to be older men, wiser. People when I was in my 30s used to try to make me Elijah or Moses. I'm not either one of them. If I am, I don't know anything about it. But what I'm saying is it possible that those two men like Moses and Elijah is on earth now? Just waiting for this Gentile bride to get out of the way so they can reveal himself to their brother? Or will they come down, translated back in here and be like the mountain? See, I don't know, but Brother Branham talks about them being two men with that spirit on them. Now, I'm a Gentile. I ain't going to go looking for them. They'll come out. I guess I don't want to be Moses and Elijah because they get killed. And they lay in the streets. And character assassination, I've already had that happen to me, you know. I'm telling you this, folks. There's nobody got all the answers. And Brother Branham said, when you get it figured out, you can count on it. You're wrong. Now, I get criticized for making that statement. They say, I don't got it figured out. I got a revelation of it. Well, I still got some questions I need to ask you then. But again, I'm so glad for predestination and the sovereignty of Almighty God. But understand the difference in mystery and mysteries. Understand in being finished and being spoken. Because if you do that, then you got the seventh seal in February, in 1963, and that's the end of all things. You just can't make it fit. So let me caution you about it. Bring the surges, is this the time, and the breach back tonight, if you will. God bless you.